Your style is unorthodox, but effective. It is not the art, but the combat that you enjoy.
Man, you come right out of a comic book.
You are now listening to Black Comics Chat.
We are live on Black Comics Chat. Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
We are live on Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat. Black Comics Chat.
Hi, this is Anthony Rutgazer. I'm the writer of The First Hero and Heroes of Homeroom C, and you are listening to Black Comics Chat.
Hi, this is Regine L. Sawyer, owner, writer, creator of Lock It Down Productions and the coordinator and founder of the Women in Comics Collective International. You are now listening to Black Comics Chat.
1212, hello, this is Marcus Kwame, and we are back with another Black Comics Chat. We are here talking to a guest who's been on Black Comics Chat several times, one of our super guests, to speak about his various super cool projects. But tonight we're here to talk about the ongoing Kickstarter for Mind to Avenge. So yeah, without any further ado, I'm going to introduce Robert K. Jeffrey.
Hey, how's everything going?
Doing well, man. So, yeah, I should mention it's just me flying solo for the Black Comics Chat crew tonight, so you know, the others will be back next time. But anyway, so Robert, for anyone who hasn't heard our past interviews with you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your origin story of getting into comics?
I'm an Atlanta-based freelance writer, and got started doing comic books with a local publisher down here called Terminus Media. So I had a few years spent working as a journalist for the Atlanta Voice newspaper, and kind of parlayed that into writing comics. And Route 3 actually got me, my creator-owned series with Terminus got me in front of DC Comics. I was accepted into their 2017 writers workshop, and at the end of that, I got a chance to write a story focused on John Stewart, the of the Green Lantern Corps. So now working for publishers like 133 Art and Evolution Publishing, and working on other upcoming series, but also my current creator-owned series, the second one, Mind to Avenge. So that's kind of where it's at in a nutshell, and just trying to keep as busy as possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, you definitely seem to stay busy, but let's get right into Mind to Avenge. We spoke to you when you were launching the first issue, but again, just a quick recap of the series overall for people who didn't hear that interview.
I always say the elevator pitch for Mind to Avenge is Blade meets Blade Runner, with a bit of historical fiction, alternative historical fiction mixed in. But it tells a story about a couple named the Lollaries, and they were slave owners, in the antebellum South, the 1830s. And
they were actual people.
Mm-hmm, they were actual people. So where my, I guess, alternative take, historical take comes in the play is that they're actually, there's a supernatural element to the, to the couple, and running in parallel with what they were really doing, they were psychopaths. They they tortured and maimed the slaves which they owned. And in my story, I tell the tale of a little girl named Leia who got away, and as a result, of her experiences in the household, she creates an organization called the Retribution Cabal. And they basically fight a centuries-long fight against the Lollaries and the things that go bump in the night on behalf of the of the descendants of America's original sin, which were people of African descent. So we jump ahead to a cyberpunk future, and the Lollaries are back, and the Retribution Cabal is kind of broken to a certain extent. So we're following the story of them going back up against the Lollaries, and without giving too much away.
Yeah, and I had the the privilege of reading the beginning of the series, and the story is great, and the art is beautiful as well. Like, can you talk a little bit about the team that you're working with on the book?
Yeah, most definitely. So on the pencils and inks is the masterful Matteo Illuminati. I'm trying to channel my Stan Lee.
Right.
But he's a really solid artist and very professional. But on the pencils and inks, Matteo, and then with the colors and the lettering, we have the awesome, I can't think of an L word, but the awesome Loris Ravina, and he is he's our, like I said, colorist and letterer, and these two guys combined have created one of the strongest squads of artists that I've worked with, just period. And I hope to do more with them in the future. But that's the that's the Mind to Avenge art team.
Cool. And I believe I asked you about this last time, but how far do you you've obviously successfully kickstarted and completed two books, but how far do you see the series going?
Right now, it's my goal is to do six issues for the first story arc, and once that's knocked out, collecting all of the issues into a trade, and so we can get that get the collected edition in front of people. And my plan is to always, with each arc, is to do it as a separate book, focusing on one of the characters or some of the characters within the Mind to Avenge, I guess you could say, universe. But I already have the end in mind for the story, for this arc. And the two reactions I see it as are, folks are going to be like, oh, this is possibly cool, or, oh, this is really irritating me and I need more. So either way, hopefully they'll come on back for more of the book. But
it's going to be a strong reaction one way or the other.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's the hope.
That's cool, man. So I myself definitely enjoy alternate takes on history, and I think that speculative fiction, that's one of the great things about it as a genre, that it allows you to kind of play around with real aspects of history and tell fresh stories based on them. So how is that for you? Do you enjoy telling that type of story?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, there there's a couple of reasons why. When I was in college, I got my BA in history, so I'm a bit of a historical nerd. But in addition to that, I'm a huge nerd for when it comes to speculative fiction or sci-fi. And we've seen this formula done successfully with stories like the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, Pride and Prejudice versus Zombies, and then within comics, most recently, Bitterroot and Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer, and also there are still more prose novels that do the same thing. There's another one called Dread Nation, by I think it's Justina Ireland, but it's a zombie story or horror story set within the Reconstruction South.
So
there's, I don't know if it's something that started recently or if it's been, it's been going on for a while, but I never want to say that I'm the first to do it, so that's, right. That's, give credit where it's due. But, one of the things that kind of captured my interest as far as, you know, from the writing perspective about the Lalaurie's is that, you know, they were never brought to justice. Mm. You know, they never had to, you know, atone for their sins when it came to, you know, came time to, you know, for that.
Right.
So I wanted to tell the story about, you know, what if that happened. And so, you know, my story definitely takes a left-hand turn and, you know, in terms of, you know, what really happened. But I think that's one of the plus, you know, pluses of speculative fiction. You know, it allows you to, you know, to do that, you know, and to, you know, grow the story from that and, you know, see where it takes you.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think that's one of the toughest things for people of African descent in this country is that there's so many of the horrific things that were done where, you know, there was no justice, you know, and, yeah. I mean, just even the whole dark history of lynchings, like that law enforcement was oftentimes, you know, participating. So, it is, I gotta say, just, you know, as a black person, it's also, that also intrigues me, the idea of a book that depicts some level of, accountability.
Right. So. Well, you know, it's one of those things where, and I don't know if I mentioned this before with y'all, but we get no shortage of stories where it's, you know, it's a straight white male, you know, being able to go back and avenge, you know, mm-hmm. the murder, you know, the murderer, or the betrayal or whatever. It's mm-hmm. the righteous revenge,
right.
You know, with characters like the Punisher and freaking Dirty Harry. You know, I can go on and on.
Yeah.
And it's, at least in popular media, we rarely get an opportunity to see, you know, us, you know, as the ones that are going back and knocking heads.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you know, without the added, I guess, you know, tidbit of, you know, there's a supernatural element to it. You know, Leia was a girl that was raised in, like I said, the antebellum South. So if it wasn't ghouls and goblins or whatever she was experiencing within my story, she was experiencing, you know, something which was horrible, you know, horrible, just a disgusting, depraved practice of slavery and just owning a human being. You know, so that, I mean, there's a story in and of itself outside of, you know, turning the Lalaurie's into demons, right. You know, for the sake of the story. So, yeah, I think that we need more stories where we actually knock some heads, at least in my humble opinion. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, hopefully there's a good story being told. But I get tired of seeing us as the victims, and especially black women, you know, as the victims, right. When it comes to these stories. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's my vibe on it. That's, you know, that's my focus.
Cool. I should mention that, you know, tonight as we're recording this, it's at the tail end of the campaign. You know, you've certainly had a lot of people supporting and coming out, but this is, you know, it's a crucial time for people to definitely support and put it over the top. So I definitely want to take a moment to urge anyone listening, like, pause, do whatever you got to do, or do it while you listen, but go to Kickstarter right now, you know, type in Mine to Avenge in the search bar and go support. And Robert, like, when people go there to support, like, what types of rewards can they find there?
One of the cool things I like about this one is that, this campaign is that you'll be able to essentially catch up on the series. So a few of the tiers have options where you can get all three of the issues, in digital or physical form, you know, whatever you so desire. And then we also have prints that you can, at some of the tiers or at some of the levels, which is, you know, an added plus. At the top tier that we have at the $100 tier, if somebody wants to throw $600 in there, you can get a cameo in the story. You know, we've done that successfully with issues 2, and we've did one for the upcoming third issue. So yeah, I was trying to remember. So we've had $200 backers appear in the comic book for, you know, for a cameo. So, if you want to be a part of the Mind to Avenge universe, you know, there's definitely opportunity for that, and you get a bunch of other goodies with that. Also, Evolution has a package, if it's still available, where you can get other horror-themed comic books. So, you know, for other horror fans, you know, those are, you know, that's a tier or a package that I feel would be worth checking out.
Cool. And yeah, talk about Evolution. We've had Marcel on in the past, but talk about how that partnership has been.
Yeah. It's worked out. We've had, one of the stories that I tell is that when I came out of the writer's workshop in, I guess, 2018, the only two publishers that actively kind of reached out to me were Evolution and 133 Art. And with 133 Art, I'm the series writer on a series called Retcon, which is an Afrofuturistic time travel series. And I'm also, next year we'll also launch another creator-owned series with Sean Hill and John Robert McGuire. And I'll be also the series writer for the adaptation of Milton Davis's Shanga, the Jade Obelisk series. And that'll be with Mateo and Loris also. But with Evolution, Marcel was, they were the second publisher to reach out. And originally I was hired to write a short story set within their Armor One universe.
Right.
And when that'll be published, I don't know, but it's paid work, so I'm happy. But Marcel then asked me if I had any ideas to pitch. And Mind to Avenge had been kind of sitting in the old brain crack cavity for a while. And, I pitched it to him. He, enjoyed the idea. And then he introduced me to Mateo and Loris, and, the rest is history. So, yeah, but those were, to be honest, those were the two, only publishers that were, actively have reached out to me. And, it was great for the opportunity to get a chance to, just tell some more stories.
Yeah, definitely. And we mentioned up top, you're very accomplished and you stay busy. And obviously, you're even talking about the things that you're going to be on to next year. So I just want to say, for the listeners, when approaching Kickstarters, people are always there's always the questions of will this be delivered? I can definitely attest that having supported your books in the past, you always follow through, and your writing is tight. And one of the things that people always say when they really check out Mind to Avenge is they comment on the art as well. I think it's this world that's being brought to life is done so vividly. It's Mateo, right?
Yeah, Mateo.
His art is beautiful too. So, basically, if you're listening, once again, open up your Kickstarter and support, because this is a quality book.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. The bulk of the Kickstarter in this case is being handled by, Marcel and Evolution as far as the shipping and, getting everything together. But with the past two Kickstarters with Mind to Avenge that we've done, his goal is to get these out ASAP. If not ahead of time, then, at least, by the period, the date that's set on Kickstarter. And I can personally say that I will be there saying, hey, we need to get these out. To the point where it might be annoying, because when I did Route 3, the Kickstarter, I always joke that, I was actively updating people, letting them know, when things were going to go, and even taking selfies of myself at the mail at the post office. Because at the end of the day, it's a trust, right. you can't take people's money and not, stay on top of it. So that's, But like I said, even though this is in the case of, you know, the publisher actively handling this, I'm always there. You know, Marcel will tell you, I bother him when it comes to this stuff. So, right. Because you know, it's more, you know, building a rapport and respect with the people who are helping to support us get to where we need to be. So.
Yeah, most definitely. Cool, cool. So, I mean, I guess with everything that you've been doing with the series and running a Kickstarter, have you had any time to nerd out on anything?
You know, right now we were talking about this in the green room, in the off air, but I did New York Comic Con in October.
Right.
And that was, you know, that was an amazing experience as a creator and as a fan. You know, just have a chance to, you know, spend a little bit too much money. But I tried to make some money, so that was good. Right. But outside of that, like lately, I've been reading a lot of Star Wars fiction. I mean, not Star Wars, Star Trek fiction. Okay. Star Trek fiction. I'm a huge Trekkie. And, you know, as far as on TV, trying to catch up with everything Arrowverse related to get ready for Crisis.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge. In comics, you know, reading Far Sector, you know, by N.K. Jemisin, you know, catching up on some more Kamikaze, you know, getting ready, you know, still, you know, continuing to get ready for that, you know, with writing the scripts and everything. And also just starting Evangelion. So I never saw the show. And it's blowing my mind. I was like, wow. So
yeah, that's on my watch list. Somebody's been recommending it to me, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
It's good. It's, you know, it's just the themes of there's, you know, Christianity, religion, mixing that with, you know, mechs and, you know, sci-fi post-apocalyptic future.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It really works. So I definitely recommend checking it out. And the other thing I mentioned is Raising Dion.
We finished that up.
And it was good. So it gives me hope for trying to get Route 3 on Netflix or someplace like that.
Yeah, you better be listening, Netflix.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm almost done with Raising Dion. I got to finish it up. But I thoroughly enjoyed what I've seen so far.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's been cool because I remember, in the early days of Black Comics Chat, I remember the comic book being out and that one issue. And, you know, it's been a little bit of a journey, but it's nice to see something come to fruition like that.
Yeah.
So, like you said, it gives hope to us creators, you know, that are plodding away and building our own things.
Exactly. I mean, even something like Cannon Busters, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as people keep kind of downplaying Netflix in the shadow of Disney Plus, and I enjoy Disney Plus, Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu to a certain extent are the only networks, streaming networks, that are actively seeking out original content. So, you know, that's why I'm a big fan of Netflix actually giving a shot to creators, you know, to get their stuff in front of people.
Yeah, yeah. And that is something that your current project right in front of you right now, but you would be open to breaking into animation or possibly live action at some point?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, I see Mind to Avenge as a Castlevania type of anime or animated series.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yep.
And I think the artwork already lends itself. It's interesting because, you know, we were just talking to your colleagues at Kamikaze.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they approach their book, you know, with a style that lent itself easily to animation. And I think that's smart in, you know, today's landscape to be mm-hmm. able to have something that translates that easily.
Yeah.
So, cool, man. All right, so, I guess tell people once again, like, you know, the best ways to support right now, because, you know, we got 3 days to go, so, like, what are the best ways that they can support, and tell people what they could do?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, you know, head to Kickstarter.com and do a search for Mind to Avenge, and just pledge. You know, at this point, it's I think we're $1,200 down. You know, I always try to get specific amounts.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we're like $1,200 with I think 74-75% funds raised. So anything that you can pledge would definitely be awesome. And also just, you know, sharing the campaign on, you know, your social media feeds, no matter, you know, where you post. We've found that a lot of our backers, you know, come from Facebook and also Instagram. So we've had a really good, you know, focus on those two places. But anywhere that you, you know, you might post, and because there's no telling, you know, which of your friends you might be, you know, interested in something like this. But go to Kickstarter.com and just do a search for Mind to Avenge.
Okay, cool, cool. And where can people find you in general on the internet?
Yeah, my website is Robert K. Jeffrey. That's JeffRuy.com. Robert K. Jeffrey.com. And if you go there, you'll see everything that I've, you know, worked on or currently have in, you know, production. And my social media links are through there also. So, but yeah, definitely check me out through my website.
All right. Yeah, everyone definitely check Robert out. Check out the Kickstarter campaign. And yeah, let's get this thing made, you know. 3 days, you said $1,200?
Yeah, $1,200 if I did my finger math right. But yeah.
That sounds right, because I was looking before. So yeah. So yeah, it's perfectly doable, and let's get it, make it happen, and you know, I'm looking forward to reading the book.
Thank you, man. And like I said, I appreciate all y'all's support. Y'all are always awesome.
Oh yeah, no doubt, no doubt, man. It's our pleasure.
Black Comics Chat.